everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor. But this time, we're going to do things a little bit different today.
This is going to be Spiritual Successor Goes to the Movies, our first ever Patreon exclusive. AJ, holy shit, we reached
Patreon exclusive or Patreon bonus?
Oh my God, you're right, it's a Patreon bonus. It's our first ever Patreon bonus.
It's a bonus.
Yeah.
This is not exclusive. Everyone gets to hear
this. Fuck yeah.
Everybody in the whole world could hear this right now if they wanted to.
Holy shit. Because of our lovely patrons, we actually make about $50 a month now, and that covers one ad like every single month. So we've been actually running a lot of ads on Lunar Light and beginning some new people checking out the podcast. So it's all because of you guys. So this one goes out to you guys. We love you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity and giving us an excuse to try a new format.
Fuck yeah. So this one's a little bit different. Instead of video games, we've taken movie ideas from our Patreon Discord and are going to turn those into the next big budget blockbuster fucking craziness.
Next summer blockbuster on the way right now.
So AJ and I have both collected some ideas, and we are going to pitch each other these. And once we find one, we will have like 1 hour to break its story. And just before we get into the episode, I do want to get a little serious for a second. I want to dedicate this episode to Will Campos, Matt Arnold, and Freddie Wong. Those were filmmakers I grew up watching, and they're part of the reason why I wanted to be a filmmaker and be a storyteller. And they run a really amazing podcast who does this weekly. Like, it's called Story Break, and it's a really, really, really fun podcast. I've listened to pretty much every single episode. And just want to share some love for those guys.
Yeah, no, their show's really amazing, actually. They've been, I don't remember if it's a project they've finished by now because I've been going through, but they actually took this format of like taking an hour to break a story, and they ended up breaking scene by scene to turn in to create like a whole film script.
Yeah, it's done. It's done, dude. You can actually listen to the audio drama. They didn't like get actors or anything. It's just like them reading through the script, and it's like 2.5 hours long. It's really, really cool. So if you're into like screenwriting and want to learn how to do that, there are a couple great boys. These are the people that did Dimension 404 on Hulu. They were the Rocket Jump people. They are three of the crew on Dungeons and Daddies. They're excellent. And we're in a similar vein to them with Spiritual Successor. So
So we yanked their style. We jacked their steez.
We robbed the story train, dude. Like, weird side note, dude, this feels like episode one again. Like, I'm all nervous and I'm all like, yeah. Fuck, I'm like flying blind. Like, I got comfy. I got comfy in my 58 episodes, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, how about you hit me with the first one?
I'm going to hit you. Okay, I'll hit you with the first one. All right, I'll give us an easy one. This one comes to us from Patrick Skelly, a sequel to The Perfect Movie. And this is kind of a good question. AJ, what's your favorite movie, man?
My favorite movie and The Perfect Movie are two different questions. Mm-hmm. Which would you like first?
I would like both.
You don't get both. You get one or the other.
Actually, no, give me The Perfect Movie, because like that was what the submission was asking for.
Well, everybody knows that The Perfect Movie is The Rundown starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong. The Rundown is the one where he has like the fucking wood board in the back of his car, right? That he uses just to cave things in.
No, you're thinking of a completely different movie where he's in a small town and he's like a police officer and he only uses a piece of wood.
And he got like stabbed and then had to go on like a vigilante like beaten ass spree.
I forgot about the movie where he's a criminal, where he's a police officer that just beats the shit out of criminals with a piece of wood. What was the name of that movie? And he like runs around the town and he's just like, I'm going to have you join my police force because the cops are all corrupted.
Oh, that's right. He did like deputize people to like just beat ass for a while.
Yeah, because the cops in his town were all corrupted and bad. What was the name of that? No, The Rundown is the movie where he's hired by some rich businessman to go hunt down the rich businessman's son when he's in like South America.
Yes, I do remember this movie.
There's a treasure hunt and he's a bounty hunter there. And like the movie opens up with this funny thing about like how like he would never use a gun. When guns are used,
Walking Tall is the second, is the one where he like beats ass.
How does Walking Tall not mention the plank of wood that is like so thematically important?
It's in the trailer, dude. Like not in the trailer. It's in the fucking poster.
The final fight is two dudes fighting over a plank of wood to beat the other one's ass with. How is that not like part of the? Okay, you know what? I feel like
we're talking about this rather than the actual movie that you were pitching, man. Okay, so is this a movie? Are we doing a sequel to The Walking Tall? Is that like the perfect movie? That is a movie that did it perfectly.
that is a movie that did it perfectly. Like, it's got like a good best friend to villain reveal. It's got the funniest reveals ever, because the window like shatters and reveals his best friend like in a suit all of a sudden.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Johnny Knoxville is in Walking Tall.
What?
Johnny Knoxville is like the pal in fucking Walking Tall.
Well, he's not the villain. Is he the first guy that's deputized?
I believe so. Yeah, that's his whole. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my fucking God.
Okay, so then what we're going to be creating is, hey, that movie's based on a true story, actually.
Really?
I think it's inspired by true events.
Okay, so if we're, oh my God, I'm just looking at Johnny. Fuck, Johnny Knoxville looks so young in this. You want to make a sequel to Walking Tall. What would that look like?
I think it's just a man retiring and falling in love. I believe, you know what it is? It's the romantic comedy. It's the romantic comedy where he falls in love with the plank of wood that he used to stop a bunch of evil criminals.
We've been through so much together, and it's just, you know what this weirdly reminds me of? Actually, I don't know if you knew this, but remember the kid with Plank in Ed, Edd n Eddy?
Yes.
Yeah, he grew up to be Dwayne the Rock Johnson in Walking Tall.
Okay, yes. I think that it's a love story between this man and this plank of wood as he falls in love with it, as he realizes all that this plank of wood has done to be there for him, and he realizes the sacrifices that he needs to make to really show his love for it. And like, we're talking about like the actual sacrifice that somebody needs to
where's the conflict in that? I feel like if we're doing a romantic comedy, and I feel like we can get a little bit philosophical with this, you know, like that whole thing of like, you dismantle a ship and then assemble it again as another ship, is it still the same ship? You know, that whole theory.
How much of a plank of wood can you replace before it's a different plank of wood?
Well, I mean, I feel the opening scene should be the piece of wood breaking into two. Which piece does he love? And that creates this whole conflict. So maybe he makes a choice that results in the other plank of wood going out on a spiteful thing. Because I feel like that the scene that would be like, that would define the movie, is a bunch of mobsters sitting in a dark, like just like one light room, surrounding a piece of broken wood in a mob boss chair, and they're holding a conversation with it that doesn't, the plank doesn't answer, just like Plank and Ed, Edd n Eddy, but they're like, oh, you want us to kill him? That's the conflict there.
You know what? I'm very interested in romantic comedy between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and being in a love triangle with two blank pieces of wood.
Is this like an action romantic comedy? Because like the first Walking Tall was pretty fucking brutal, but actually it did have some comedic moments. When Johnny Knoxville was deputized, I remember them having like some comedic beats where he's like, whoa, I get a gun? Holy shit. You know, Johnny Knoxville style.
Yeah, he does get a gun.
So are we just dropping the seriousness of this?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think it would just be like a fun romantic action comedy, much like the greatest romantic action comedy, Night and Day.
I have never
starring
seen
Tom
Oh, wait,
Cruise
holy shit, I do know
and,
this, I do know.
Right, it was Tom Cruise, and who was the lady in that one? Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
It's going to be us talking about, like, movies we like, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. It's a bonus episode. We're winging it, man. Like,
eventually, we're going to pick a movie. All right, I got one to pitch to you.
All right, tell me about it.
Twerp's Starlight Brigade, but a movie. This was submitted by Zendrika.
We've talked about this. We can't do any. That thing already has a story. You know what happens. It's
yeah, but we need
little,
to expand
it's a
on
cute
it.
Little elf kid that finds a crash spaceship, goes into space, and fights a fucking space war with probably the thirstiest furry bait I've ever seen. Did you see the internet after that movie dropped?
You're talking about the really buff lion.
The buff lion bassist. Yeah, the fucking internet got so thirsty
like
after that music
but
video.
Like this, you know what this movie could be, right? Like, this could be one of those like fun like crew action movies. You know what I mean? Like, this could be like space Fast and the Furious.
Oh, I think a better example would be Guardians of the Galaxy, which is...
It could be a little bit Guardians of the Galaxy. Also be a little bit Starship Trooper. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's a deconstruction of the Chosen One tropes.
Now that I think about it, your Fast and the Furious comparison is good because they each have their own spaceship.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that the music video didn't discuss that maybe we could jump into... They didn't really talk about the process of him becoming part of the Starlight Brigade.
Yeah.
So maybe if you break it apart, like, okay, this is how we can tackle this submission. This is going to be a trilogy. So, like, the first movie is, like, him on his wasteland world, and then the end of it is, like, him escaping into orbit to go fight this.
Yeah.
He sees something dark in the sky.
We actually acknowledge, like, what is it like for him to, like, choose to go on this heroic space adventure? What is this villain that they're facing?
Yeah, what is he escaping from? Because, you know, we get that it's a scrap world, but, like, is life kind of peaceful in this scrap world? Is it, like, this person is hungry to do something? Also, it never explains if this war is going on.
Like, really quick, I think we should do some background. Would be a film adaptation of the music video for the song Starlight Brigade by Twerk.
Featuring, I think it features all of NSP. I think, I know Brian, Ninja Brian is in the music video, but I don't know if he did any...
work on the track?
Yeah, but like Twerk and NSP are so intertwined now that I feel like they just do shit together.
Yeah.
Like all the time. So if we break it up into a trilogy, through the first one is like him discovering that a war is going on outside of the planet and he's got to escape, and then maybe there's...
Well, if you wanted to break it into a trilogy, you could do a system where like there's this MacGuffin on the first island, or first movie would be like him needing to get this spaceship, realizing something's weird about it. It's a little bit like E.T., right? Like there's this thing here
God,
that we
wonderful.
Need to know about, and we need to understand, and we need to explore. This would then get him off world. Once he's on world, we have this second movie that's about him meeting these like wild and crazy space adventurers, and like having to earn, like it's the first encounter with this darkness that they're fighting, and it's like, I'm here to prove myself as a teammate and as a friend to all of you. And then the third one is about like the dark sacrifices of needing to face this like oppressive war.
I think it would be so fun because this is obviously like a coming of age story. So the first movie should be kind of like a sort of like a child adventure, something like Studio Ghibli. It's very innocent. Our opening scene is like them seeing the ship land off in the distance, and that's our MacGuffin. They'd be like, hey, I want to see what that is.
Yes.
You know, I'm curious what that is. So it's just like him going from like scrap town to scrap town. To get to this, like, what he thinks is, like, a meteor or a falling star or something. And maybe the people that are opposing him are also going there because this is a world powered by scrap, right? They think, oh, hey, a ship landed there.
Yeah, we could junk that and turn that into profit.
Yeah, you know, or something. And then you realize that maybe towards the end of the movie, and I'm trying to figure out how you can release this, but it's not canceling things in the music video. Because, like, he does come across the ship at the crash site.
I think you could just find it and, like hide it away and, like, try to make sure that nobody else finds it.
Well, I feel like you could do... I'm trying to think of, like, who are... Like, I feel like our story, we got to figure out who, like, our main players are. I think there are three main players in this story. We have our kid. I don't think they have a name, but we can just call them Danny. Because that's...
Please. Space Dan. All right, that's not Danny from
You're
Ninja
right.
Sex Party. That's Space Danny, who's an
that's
elf.
Space Sex Bang, if you will. And then we also have the Scrapper, like the lead Scrap Warlord. And then we have, you know, one thing the music video didn't cover is, where the fuck did the pilot of that ship go?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they're out, they crash land in this world, and they have to go... actually, but the ship was working when he found it, so, like, why would the person have to repair it?
Maybe it was a Green Lantern situation.
Oh, shit! So it's
right?
Like...
And, like, the spaceship was, like, sent across the universe to, like, find a worthy candidate.
Oh, my God. So, like, do you think the Starlight Brigade sent it? But it was a dark ship, though.
I don't think that the Starlight Brigade sent it. I think that maybe an old member of the Starlight Brigade sent it on, like, without telling any of the other members, which would mean that, like, once Space Dan has the ship, he now has to prove that he's worth this mantle that, mm-hmm. like, everybody was like, oh, the old pilot was so much cooler and better and wiser and handsomer than you.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we care about you?
But you know what might be kind of interesting? Because that spaceship was dark, it was an enemy ship. What if it was like a traitor? Because I'm trying to think, why would they send a ship there? I think they sent the ship there because they wanted somebody hateful and powerful to find it to take down the Starlight Brigade. And that could be why the ship was like kind of evil looking. But once Space Dan got in there, you know, pure of heart and shit, removed it and went to go fight with the Starlight Brigade.
So what would we be looking to create here, I guess? We mentioned like a trilogy. Do we want to just create the movie that is him getting off world and then like we'll let somebody else in the future deal with Starlight Brigade 2 and Starlight Brigade 3 and like we'll be attaching different writers, directors to it, and it'll be like a little bit of a Pacific Rim situation
I feel like, you know, we can plot out the whole thing. Like, what are the, we have the major events of the first movie. So what are the major,
well, hold on. Let's not do this now. Let's put our cards on the table. Let's look at all of the possible submissions we've got, and then we'll pick one to actually break, because then we need to set up our timer and then break the story.
Okay.
Right now we're just getting a little, just wetting our palate a little bit, trying to figure out which one we're liking. We're in the ice cream shop and we're saying, I want a little bit of this one and I want a little bit of this one. And really, we're just out to try to collect as many of those tiny little spoons that we can.
Okay, I have a submission for you then.
Hit me.
There was a super long conversation in our Discord about how bizarre and stupid JoJo's can be, talking about how the stands are all named after famous songs and other things. And then it just kind of went into people just saying song title names. And a couple of them stood out to me. And I want you to pick which one we go with, because one is Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran, which is very good. And then another one is, that one came from Caleb Reed This. And then we have another one from Patrick Skelly, Some Kind of Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville Meets Guy Fieri Flavortown Project. Are we doing Margaritaville? Or are we doing Hungry Like the Wolf? Real quick.
I want to do Hungry Like the Wolf.
Okay, sweet. So here are the lyrics to Hungry Like the Wolf. Dark in the city, night is a wire. Steaming in the subway, earth is a fire. Woman, you want me, give me a sign and catch me breathing ever closer behind. This is creepy, actually.
Yeah, a lot of romance songs are creepy when you just read them line by line, actually.
Yeah, that's how fucking... Well, I mean, Every Breath You Take is also a creepy fucking song, but that was meant to be creepy. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt after you, smell like a sound, I'm lost in a crowd, straddle the line in discord and rhyme, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you, mouth is alive with juices like wine, and I'm...
I'm watching the music video right now, and I feel like I'm... dying.
Really?
What am I watching?
Is it like that? Like, is it problematic?
I don't know if it is. He's like a safari man, and he like went into the jungle and he met some lady, and then they were crawling around, and then I think they were fighting.
My god, I'm having flashbacks to that. Yeah, where they're on the ground, like looking at each other like they're fucking animals.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the 80s were weird. All right. This is going to be a werewolf romance story.
I'm so glad you went with the werewolf romance idea as well as I did. Here's the thing. I don't like the visuals of the music video.
We don't have to keep it. We don't have to like, it doesn't
exactly.
exist. It doesn't
We're
exist.
We're getting rid of this. Yeah. I want a werewolf story that feels like the same energy as like Teen Wolf, right? I want them car surfing. I want them wearing fun, colorful body suits. I want everybody wearing aviators.
Okay. Is this going to be, okay, we should discuss, like, what, is this, like, our world where werewolves exist, or are we going to do, like, because, like, I feel if we did that,
it's
just
our
fucking...
world, but with werewolves. It's just Teen Wolf.
No,
it's in the Teen Wolf cinematic universe.
Then just fucking watch Teen Wolf. Then what is the point of us talking about the submission? We got to, like, come up with our own thing, you know what I mean?
Teen Wolf 2, Hungry Like the Wolf.
No. So what if we did a thing, like, kind of Monster Prom style, where it is a world where monsters do exist... And this is a person that is a wolf. Actually, here's the idea. Here's the idea, AJ. I'm going to give everybody a little insight into my disgusting fucking history. I was really into Rosario Vampire when I was a kid. That series fucking rocked. So what if we take that concept where it is, there is a hidden away monster world, and this one kid gets bitten and becomes a werewolf, and it's now their like fish out of water story of them becoming part of this new community and world.
What's the story, right? Like what is
I think it's a tale on adolescence, dude. It's a tale on puberty. Like that's what I think it's about.
All right.
So it's like, it's just a like coming of age story. We'll pitch it to Netflix. They can't stop making them.
That's true. They're physically incapable of releasing more supernatural coming of age stories, and a werewolf one would fit right in there.
Yeah. I don't think they have any werewolf like content. Cause I know they did, Teen Wolf was really popular for a while.
Yeah, there is the edgy Teen Wolf show, but I don't believe that's a Netflix original. No. I believe that was for like MTV or something.
I don't know if you watched it, but Teen Wolf was actually pretty fucking good.
Does anybody car surf on it?
No, but...
Then it's a fucking waste of the name Teen Wolf, isn't it?
Oh my god, AJ. AJ, oh my god! I have
Falls
it.
In love
I
with
have
a vampire.
It. No, I have it. I have it. I have it. I have it. We can. There's a couple rounds we can do with this. One, this is a werewolf who wants to become a cook. So it's hungry like the wolf. So it's like, that's what they're trying to pursue.
Fuck.
Or we can do a thing where it's like, we call it Beach Wolf, and it's about a wolf, a werewolf who wants to surf. So there's two routes here.
Hungry like the wolf, and it's a werewolf that's going to culinary school. Mm-hmm. You've knocked that out of the park.
Culinary monster high school, basically.
Well, culinary monster college, first of all, because he's actually, like, he's a good cook. He's, like, a good cook, actually. Like, he's going to culinary school.
So here's the thing. Here's the opening bit. So it's, like, he is that kind of cook that only likes fresh vegetables. So he's, like, out in the field, like, collecting vegetables to cook up his primo dish, and while he's out there, that's where he has his encounter with the werewolf, because the werewolf is stalking about, like, hunting prey and something. He survives the incident. Like, after he wakes up in the hospital, he has a little card and some, like, thorny, like, purple roses on his bedside, and on the note is, like, his acceptance letter to this mysterious, like, high school. Because, like, how weird would that be? Like,
college. There's no such thing as culinary high school. All right, let's get
that out
of the way.
I've watched enough anime to disagree with that.
No, this is for an American audience. It's a summer blockbuster.
Have you not watched Food Wars?
I know about Food Wars. Here's my question about, like, the werewolf culinary school. Like, what are some of the central themes we'd be looking at, right? Like,
what is the want? What do they need to learn? That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Person should look at, like, be very selfish in the beginning, very confident in their ability. And the moment they are, this werewolf thing fucks with his coordination skill. So now he's not a good cook anymore. So he needs to humble himself over the course of this story, both accepting his new werewolf abilities and becoming one with himself to become, like, a better cook.
All right. So, like, the issue that he has in the first place is, like, he's a perfectionist, right?
Yes.
He's, like, very clean cut, very prim, very proper. But then, like, as the story goes on, like, he's coming into his own.
He's a slobbering werewolf. He becomes a messy person.
And his cooking suffers so horribly. And so, like, it's a story about him accepting these issues and, like, realizing that, like, hey, he doesn't need to be perfect. He just needs to have fun.
And you know what would be such a cool scene, like, towards the end of it? Like, there's that montage where, like, him and his friend or, like, somebody that's helping him through this journey, he, like, makes a dish that looks so fucking gross, but it tastes perfect. Like, it's just, like, he made the biggest mess. It's just not, the presentation on it is terrible, but, like, it just, like, it's that dish that fills you with warmth and, like, hey, this is what it's about. This is about
it's
making,
like, goulash.
Yeah.
Goulash never looks good, but
God,
damn, does goulash not just, like, taste so killer? You know what I mean? Like, no one's slapped goulash on a plate and said, now that looks like a five-star restaurant.
I'm excited to put that
in
my fucking
gullet. That looks like sauce and noodles and slop.
But how does we should, like, try and take some of the song lyrics and apply them to the story. I think that's what
Hit me with some lines then? Because we did just do this off of the name alone, didn't we?
Yeah, we did just do, well, I mean, that's close. It's pretty good. Okay, so let me read you some of the lyrics again. Dark in the city, night is a wire, steam in the subway, earth is a fire. Woman, you want me, give me a sign, and catch me breathing ever closer behind.
I'm sorry, is the song Hungry Like the Wolf just about this dude being, like, super hyper sexed up?
Yeah, and fucking, like, hunting somebody.
You want to hear some more of the heat I've got?
Okay, so real quick, we took Hungry Like the Wolf in name only. We didn't apply any of the sex junk to it.
Yeah, that's exactly what the move was.
Okay.
All right. I got two more options for you. Mm-hmm. Are you a little bit more interested in a sequel or an adaptation?
An adaptation. Well, the thing is, though, I want to avoid, like, if this thing, like, we had a lot of fun with Starlight Brigade because there were holes that we can fill, but I do kind of don't want to just be like, hey, can you make a movie out of this anime series? And I'm like, no, it's like, I feel like the work is already done. You know what I mean?
I would say that the adaptation that I could propose to you right now is so congested with so many messy and, like, random themes that if we wanted to create an adaptation of that, we could pick one of the, like, 18 themes throughout this hyper congested series and find out what, like, a one singular movie of that would look like.
Okay, can we, because we did reach the 30 minute mark, so if you can, like, just really quickly go, let's kind of like lightning round this shit. Okay.
All right. Let me just put these both on the table and you can pick which one you want.
Okay. Okay. I'm down.
Air Bud, but with esports.
You did text me this one and I'm like, it just little backstory to this. AJ texted me. This is like, hey, don't let me fucking forget this one. So, okay. Okay. Go for the next one.
No, that's the sequel. That's the sequel. Like that one's just
No, that's not a sequel. That's just like, well, okay. Air Bud is weird because that's part of a collective of movies
universe
where that uses golden retrievers doing said sport.
Yeah, that's
they're
fair.
Not necessarily sequels so much as they are like,
wait, it's not the same dog?
No, it's not the same dog. It's
okay, I need
kid
you to understand, up until this exact
wait,
moment, I thought it was the same basketball,
no,
soccer, football dog, and
no,
then he had a bunch of puppies.
No, no, Air Bud is like, it's actually, okay, I don't know if it's like,
I thought that we were operating with Crypto the fucking super dog.
No, dude, it's like, it follows different kids, and I think a different dog every single time. Yeah, Air Bud
is
2.
It possible that it's on a little bit of like a dog's purpose stuff, and every time this dog has died and been reincarnated as a new sports dog?
No, 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 no. Air Bud 1
is... Now, hold on. Don't
no,
shut me down on this, because I'm onto something.
No,
here.
Air Bud 1 is about basketball. Air Bud 2 is about football, dude.
It's a very talented dog.
No, it's completely... Wow, its budget was $11 million, and its box office was $10 million. Uh-oh.
No, that's not what I like to hear when I'm trying to plan out the next summer blockbuster.
Okay, so Air Bud 1, it was its budget was $3 million. Holy shit. And how much
wow
money
a
did
big
it make?
Jump in the money from Air Bud 1 to Air Bud 2.
Yeah,
huh?
I know, right? Okay, so its budget was, oh my god, its budget was $3 million. Guess how much money it got a return on.
12.
No.
Uh-oh.
$27 million.
Damn, Air Bud.
Holy shit,
and then he
and then he
died and became reincarnated as a football dog.
How about this? Because we live in the modern era, their owner couldn't let them go, so they had them cloned. That's a thing you can do.
Well, it could also be that our esports dog is one of the Air Buddies.
Okay, wait, AJ, you know what's really fucking in right now?
What?
Gaming teams. Like, I just watched a thing on Kotaku about, and also this is... we're not a video game podcast right now, but I'm going to talk about video game thing for a second. There is this group of like 19-20-year-olds that just bought a multi-million-dollar home, and they got famous and rich playing Fortnite. Guess what they call their team, AJ?
Fart Squad.
No.
Fart Squad 6.
No, they're called the 1%. How?
Yeah, gross.
Fucking pieces
okay
of shit.
Here's what I'm going to say then.
Okay.
I like this idea of like a singular coach needing to coach like 8 dogs about how to play video games very good.
It's a dog. Oh, no.
Or we put the one dog on the team and everybody learns a little bit about themselves. Here's the other one that I want to pitch to you really quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A live action Fooly Cooly.
I would love
a
that.
A singular movie. We pick one of the 1,100 themes within the Fooly Cooly movie. And we try to expand that into a singular 2-hour film.
I would love that, but the original series is already so good. I don't want to fuck with it. Like, I love the idea of it, but the original series works. Why do it?
It does work.
That's like the same to
like,
me.
What's
that
more
is
Hollywood
the...
than trying to take something that works and do it again? You just looked at the numbers for Air Bud 2. What's more Hollywood
well,
than
no.
this?
This is the equivalent to me of like right after Parasite won like best fucking movie of the year, and then some American asshole producer's like, yeah, I'm in the works of making an American version of that. I'm like, fuck you. Just watch the original. It's good. It's fucking tight. Just learn how to fucking read some subs, some goddamn subs, you fucking asshole. That's like them when they... God, no, all right, no, I'm gonna rant now. That's like them
okay,
remaking
you're on
old... That's like
hey,
them
wait,
making
whoa, whoa,
fucking
whoa, whoa, whoa,
old boy.
Is there any way I could talk you down from the soapbox?
No.
Okay, go.
That's like them remaking Old Boy, like one of the best fucking movies ever made. And it's a fucking Korean film.
Wait, there's a remake of Old Boy?
Yeah, and it's terrible. It's
like
it's starting
like
some
it
fucking old white guy and then like doing just fucking being like American badass, kicking ass, doing all these things. When the first one was like just this inherent, like really vague, like just slow burning drama that had one action scene. And then some American producer was like, I only love the action scene in that movie. That's what this fucking movie's about now. And guess how shitty that movie did? It was fucking awful. It was fucking terrible.
Do you
God,
think,
that was so pissed off. Old
do you
Boy's
think
one of
that there's an American
movies.
Remake of The Raid in the works?
They have not made a remake of The Raid.
Thank goodness.
God. Because the fucking Raid 1 and Raid 2 are so damn good, and I'm so fucking happy for that actor. I need to
he
remember
got put
his
in John
name.
Wick.
No. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he got, like, a...
I'm almost certain that he's in John Wick 3.
God, that'd be so fucking cool, actually. Iko Uwais, I believe is his name. An amazing actor.
I'm going to butcher this pronunciation on him, but Yayan Ruhian?
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Raid, and he's okay. in the one of the fights in John Wick 3.
Okay. Oh, so it was a different guy from... Oh, was this the guy who they just put a beard on him and like, hey, that's totally a different person. You remember that? There was a character in The Raid that was in a... He was called the dog.
That's right. In Raid Redemption, they put a beard on him and were like, no, this is just some old guy.
It's just some different fucking dude. But like, he's so... Like, all of his fight scenes are so good. Okay. Circling back here, though. Here's our story. I think we're going to do Air Bud 2. I don't want to do Fooly Cooly. It's an awesome series.
All right, hold on. Wait. Are we committed to trying to break the story of Air Buddies or of eSports Air Bud?
I think what we'll do is I want to talk a little bit about Air Buddies because I think there's some funny jokes and story stuff we can do there. And then we decide on that or Hungry Like the Wolf. How about that?
That sounds good. Let's crack some jokes.
Okay. So I think the problem, how this happens is... This is not necessarily a person who owns a bunch of dogs. We have a person, because one thing that's really popular right now is dog walkers.
I want to express a couple different options that we could go with the placement of our eSports Air Bud.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 space Air Buds, and the boy that he's going to make a companionship with is the coach, and he's going to teach all 5 of these dogs to play League of Legends. Option 2.
Okay, that's pretty good, actually.
Option 2. There's already four people playing League of Legends, and they need a 5th man, so they bring in the dog to teach them all about teamwork. Like, they're a really, really good esports team, but they're really bad about, like, covering each other's lanes.
No.
They're really bad about, having a support stick with them. But the dog, you know, the dog's used to... the dog loves going on walks. The dog loves being near people. The dog is such a good support player.
No, I love the idea that it's a team of dogs, because you can do a thing where it's like...
Can I propose my 3rd option before we make a decision?
Okay.
The dog takes the place of the coach, and 5 human beings are learning how to play League of Legends from a dog that's just really good at it.
No, because you can express all the jokes that can give in like one scene. I don't think there's a lot of conflict there. So here, let me give you just
let me give you a little rough, please.
What I'm thinking is this is some teenager who's like really loves playing League of Legends. And they are in their part time because they want to be a League of Legends player, so they're not really putting any time towards getting a real job. What they are doing is they walk the neighborhood dogs, and out of some freak accident, they find out that these dogs can play League of Legends. Here's the thing. They say they're going to go walk the dogs, but what they do is they just bring them to their house and just let them chill out in their house for a while they play League.
They play League and smoke a lot of drugs.
They're just bong ripping and playing shacks a lot. So in that moment, like they have to...
There's an Air Buds joke in there somewhere, by
okay,
the way.
Hold on. they have a bong that's just called Air Bud. Here's the thing. So they bring the dogs to their house because they don't actually want to walk them. They were playing some League. They need to step away to go take a rip. And then the dogs come over and are just like watching all of the particle effects and on this. And then one of them starts playing. So then they discover that these dogs can play them. And they're like, holy shit, they need these dogs to have a full League team. But they belong to other people. So they need to constantly be coming up with excuses to take these dogs. And they are able to play League remotely because you don't need... You honestly, AJ, the hundreds of times you played League, you could have been playing up against a dog. There's literally way you would know.
You're right. So, until I'm on the big stage.
Until you're on the big stage, and that's the thing that happens is like them kind of like it's like the fight of trying to, you know, make excuses to hang on to the dog. It's a lot like Wilfred. I don't know if you watched that TV series, but like he's always coming up with excuses why the dog needs to come over to his house. So you do that, but it's like with all of these little groups of dogs, you have like a Chihuahua, you have a little Golden Retriever, you have like a Saint Bernard. also, gamer wear for dogs?
They just wear the jerseys still. They were able to put football pads on a dog. I'm not worried about that.
Razer starts doing like instead of like cat headphones, it's just dog ear headphones.
Oh, the merch for this movie is going to be incredible, but we don't need to get too distracted with that. What okay. I do really like about this idea though of a bunch of different dogs that can all talk and play video games really well is that this continues like the arc of the Air Bud cinematic universe, where it is continuing to become less and less about the people and the lessons that the people can learn. Mm-hmm. And more about the dogs, just because being, the Air Buddies movies is just five siblings talking to each other.
This is a lot like this. I picture the pace of this to be a lot like Snow Dogs. Remember, it's that one guy with like the team of huskies that can like talk. So it's like that really early 2000s like mesh warp face animation.
Okay, so like obviously like the viewer is rooting for the Snow Dogs guy because like we like that person and we want him to win, because I don't remember what the actual thing is, but we need to think about like why do we the audience care about our weed smoking league playing dog walker becoming the next esports champion. We need to talk and think about that, and I think that is an excellent reason and an excellent place where we can start the timer.
So we're doing game Air Bud, or we're doing Hungry Like the Wolf?
I want to do Air Bud.
You want to do Air Bud? My concern with that is one, I don't know how much like fuel we have to get through that story to break it. Also, we normally do gaming podcasts, so wouldn't it be kind of nice to not do something related to gaming?
We could, but I don't feel like we had a lot of direction to go with the werewolf.
Okay, you know what? All right, I feel you. Next, how about this, though? Because I do want to do another one of these gaming spiritual successor goes to the movies. This is another Patreon bonus. Next one can't be game-related.
All right, next one cannot be game-related. I'm willing to match you agree to that.
All right, I am starting my 30 minutes.
First things first, we need to have a name for our main character, please.
Bud?
No, not the dogs. No, this is so... No, we can't call...
Oh my god, what if all of the dogs are like variations on Bud? So it's
yes,
like
I'll give you that, but Boo, I, but this Bud, is going to buddy. Be the hero's journey. Our hero is going to be our weed-smoking dog walker. He's the character that we need to be rooting for, because we want him to get these dogs to win the League of Legends World's Championship.
What's the most gamer name you can think of? I think Jake is pretty good. Or actually, how about this? Because this is actually going to be a YouTube Red original.
Markiplier.
I was actually thinking Markiplier, or we just have the Game Grumps. So like that.
Game Grumps already got a YouTube Red series.
Oh my god,
about
they totally
League of Legends. So.
Oh my god, that's totally right. Holy shit.
So this will be Markiplier. So Markiplier is a weed smoking dog walker.
So it's just Mark.
And he's college to high school age. It's really kind of ambiguous. He generic is schoolboy.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would work though? He looks like a 30-year-old man now.
Yeah, I don't care. This is the casting that YouTube gave us.
Okay. So also I can hear your computer clicks, friend.
Yeah, I can't fix that. Okay. what do you want from me?
All right. I'm just trying to add a little bit of professionalism as I talk with a loud fucking bird in my backyard. God, fuck me.
AJ, I can hear your...
Squaw, squaw.
I can hear your clicks. Pretty
that was pretty poshy of me, sorry.
Don't you fucking dare.
Okay, all right. We have fucking 28 minutes to crack this thing. So I think we have our opening. So this is a person who lives by themselves, and their whole life revolves around dog walking and then playing League of Legends when they're not dog walking and taking sweet fucking bong rips. I think like the Air Bud movies are really popular when you're high.
Probably. Who doesn't love a talking dog?
Who doesn't love a fucking talking dog? So
here's the things that we know about Markiplier. Sorry, we didn't give him a name, so I'm just going to call him Markiplier now.
Let's call him Mark. It's like, it's not Markiplier, but it's like you look at him like, oh, that's supposed to be Markiplier.
I like Mark because then if we aren't able to land that Markiplier deal, we can get Mark Wahlberg to slot in for this role. And I'm very happy about that possible casting decision as well.
Or you could go, like, you know, it'd be kind of funny, actually. What if you go against the archetype where it's just like young person? What if this is like somebody kind of out of their prime? This is somebody like, because older people play games too.
Like Mark Wahlberg past his prime. You're so right.
No, I want to cast Lance Reddick as our fucking dog walking.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy, he's the main villain from Quantum Break. He also is, he's Zavala from fucking... Like, from Destiny 2.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, here's the thing. We need to not worry about casting. We need to worry about our character. So we know that Mark is a liar and that he's lazy, right? Because he could be taking these dogs out for walks, but instead he decides to take the money, go back to his apartment, smoke weed, and play League of Legends.
And while all the dogs just chill out and hang out and watch him play League. AJ, that's how they learn how to play League, because they've been watching him for hours and hours. That's all they have to do.
Yes, yes. I love this. I love this moment where, like, all the dogs are sitting on a couch and they're all, like, talking to each other, and they're all like, wow, he's really bad at this video game. I bet you if he did this better, he would win.
Why is he taking this lane? Like, he's not, his character's not built as a lane character. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, he likes, the dogs see the bottom lane, and they're like, why is bottom lane alone right there? Wouldn't they be a lot more comfortable if they had somebody to be going on that long walk with? They're the only lane that didn't take a teleport.
So that's our opening montage, is like us getting to know the dogs, us seeing that his life isn't really going anywhere. I feel his lesson overarching the movie is just finding purpose and being a coach, like guiding others, being like a positive influence for these dogs.
Yeah, we need to take it from the top. We need to say, okay, why does he want to win the esports competition? What is it about like winning worlds that he wants?
He's about to run out of rent money. I feel it can be one of those stoner rent movies, like Tenacious D did it. We could do
okay,
it too.
Okay, so he thinks that like if he wins worlds, that's like the thing. He just needs to be able to win worlds, and then he can...
Then he's got rent money for the rest of the year, and then he'll win the next tournament. But his current team just dropped him.
Yes, yes,
yes. So, like, that's his thing. So maybe, but why did they drop him? Is he too arrogant? Is he too lazy? Is he too...
I think they dropped him because he's a liar. We know that he lies. I almost like this idea that, like, people are talking to him about, like accusing him as being a liar. Like, hey, you said that you were going to be here for this, like, squad, like, this team meeting, but you're not here again.
Well,
what are you doing?
And
he's like, oh, I can't do it. I'm out walking dogs right now. And he's, like, in his apartment with the dogs on the couch.
But why would he lie? Because he's going to be playing League. I think his issue is that he's not a team player, that he needs to learn how to step back and let the team do what they're good at. So he's like, hey, I'm going to rush up the center and be like, hey, no, that's not your place. Like, we need you stationed here because this is who you main. You would be best used here. He's like, no. I'm all about just like, I want to secure that fast level up so I can start doing the most damage possible. And I'm going to score. I'm going to be the reason that this team wins. I'm the reason that this team is going to get to the majors. And they're like, hey, you're not being conducive. You're not like helping us out. Get fucking lost. And so that's where we find him at the beginning of the story. He's teamless, and he needs... And how big is a team on League of Legends? I've never played League of Legends.
Five people.
Okay, so...
There's the mid laner, the top laner, the jungler, and then two in the bottom lane. Usually the mid laner is the shot caller. So they're the one that's going to be telling people where they need to go on the map.
Just so happens that he has four dogs. Like, he's gonna... Wait,
he does
have
four dogs.
Is it that he's going to coach these dogs, or is that he's gonna... Because, like, if we do four dogs, he's part of the team.
I do like that very much. What do we think is more interesting? Like, if we know that he's a liar, and he's lazy, and he doesn't... Like, if the reason why he got kicked off the team is because he's not a team player, how does he learn what he needs to learn? Does he learn that by trying to give instructions to a bunch of dogs? Or does he learn this lesson by the dog telling him what he needs to do?
That plays out exactly how it is when you're trying to train a dog. Sometimes dogs just don't give a fuck what you say. So here's the balance is like he knows they can play it and they could play it well, but they don't follow any of his orders. They do their own thing and they do it well. So that's the thing he's balancing is like, okay, I just hit over the course of the movie, you find that he's just has to accept that his team is moving towards a goal in unison, and he needs to be a part of it rather than fight against it or try and lead them away from
that. So he's the coach.
I don't necessarily know he's the coach. Maybe he thinks of himself as the coach, but he learns towards the end of, like, you can't be the coach when you're part of the team.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's what he needs to learn, you know, and then, you know, of course, at the end of it, like, I feel the main antagonist of the movie should be the dog owners.
I think the antagonist would be, like, his old team.
Oh, that's who he goes against in the...
In Worlds, yeah. Yeah. At the end of Worlds, I think he would go against his own team, and that's where, like, the lesson that, like, oh, now he knows how to, like, follow orders and, like, trust his team is, like, shown.
You know what would be so fucking cool, actually, because I'm so tired of the trope of, like, gamers who are fucking mean and just cruel. What if, like, his old team is just so nice and our guy just can't handle it?
He's just a big salty
jerk.
He's just
a fucking salty asshole, and the antagonist in the movie isn't necessarily the other team, even though that's who he's going up against at the end, at the final round. It's himself. It's just like, hey man, we heard you got a new team, you're really climbing the charts, we're really proud of you for, like, trying to do this thing. And he's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. they're just mocking me, they're always mocking me.
Okay, so let's kind of, like, go through. Should we, like, write up, like, the hero's journey for this guy then?
So we have our inciting incident is he finds out that
he's removed from his team. And yes. Like, when he finds out about that, he, like, storms out of the room. He goes out, takes a really big bong rip, and then he comes back in and he sees the golden retriever, like, playing the game totally fine.
And he thinks he's high. He's like, wow, that dog could really play. And then he wakes up from his stoner thing from, like, he hears, like, a kill streak notification. He's like, what the fuck? And then
he just sees
all the dogs, like, taking turns. Like, what they do is like, once one beats around, they hop off the chair and another dog hops on the chair in their place to, like, play it. And that's what he wakes up to, and he's like, what the fuck?
That dog can play.
And you do that whole tropey thing where he stands up to look at them, all the dogs look, and, like, maybe he faints or something. I was thinking, like,
some of the dogs look, except for the dog that's playing. The dog that's playing is just, like, still in there doing their grind.
You know, it'd be so funny. I don't know where we want to go with this, but can the dogs talk to him, or is it like Snow Dogs, Kangaroo Jack, where, like, they can talk, but they...
Snow Dogs, they can talk to each other, but they can't talk to him. So then, like, our character realizes, like, oh, okay, these dogs can play League. I need to get them all their own machines, and then I need to, like, start training these dogs on how to play better.
Okay, so that's, like, the bulk of, like, our opening of Act 2 is, like, the training, the prep. Just kind of, like, he's starting to make some wins. He's starting to defeat some challenges. He maybe has one thing that could be kind of good is he has a run-in while he's actually walking the dogs. You know, it'd be kind of cool, too.
I like the idea that he starts to walk the dogs more, right? Like, he plays these video games with the dogs, and then the dogs, like, start circling by the door, and he's like, oh, man, I guess maybe I actually should take these bad boys out for a
walk. That's their want. Like, they want to be outside. They want to experience, like, being dogs. And, like, that's such a good point. That's what the dogs get out of this. They play it because they know, or, like, maybe they play it because they're interested in it, because they're gamer dogs, but, like, they realize that, like, hey, there's other things to life too. Let's go fucking, I want to be outside. I want to go take a shit in front of my neighbor's yard or something.
Yeah.
And then while he's walking the dogs, he should have a run in with one of his old teammates.
Is one of his old teammates maybe even the people that he walks the dogs for?
That's juicy, because how does that look towards, like, the end of Act 2? Like, oh, the end of Act 2 is one of them finding out one of the dogs is part of the team, and he, like, says, no, you can't walk my dog anymore. So now this guy can't compete. This guy can't go to the tournament. That's the Dark Knight.
Okay, so he's walking the dog. He runs into one of his old teammates. Mm-hmm. His old teammate is like, whoa, hey, how's it going? I'm glad to see you up finally walking my dog for once. And he's like, well, oh, you know what? I've always been walking them.
Well, you know, it'd be kind of a cool scene, like, just circling back. This is the scene where he finds out he's off of the team. He's going to that player's house to pick up the dog. And while he's handing him the dog to walk him, he's like, hey, you're off the team, but enjoy walking the dog. So, like, that sparks, like, this sort of hate, you know? It's okay, just like, yeah. It's such as like, it gives a backdrop to the scene. It gives a reason why it's there, why it's happening.
Yeah. I feel like I need to list out everything that we have so far. So first thing we see is we see the dog's montage. We see them talking and expressing that like they would be better at video games than Mark. Mark gets the phone call that he is off the team. He gets mad, goes, smokes super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, sees all the dogs are playing league way better than him.
And at first he's upset about it because he has to refuse that. That's like the call to adventure. That's the refusal of it. You know, he's like, okay, this, because he thinks it's like a weed hallucination. And he's like, no, that's not happening. That's not real. I'm not changing anything.
So what makes him decide to go ahead and buy these dogs' computers and start playing with them?
Maybe the dogs could start pestering him. They do puppy eyes, dude. The dog like is sitting there like next to him staring at his monitor, and something about it, like he feels that the dog.
Oh, like wants the dog's got a taste of it and now they just want to keep playing. So every time he takes them out for a walk and takes them back to his apartment, rather than do anything, the dog's just like, the dogs just sit around him like, bro, give us a turn, give us a turn, give us a turn, give us a turn, give us a turn.
Like little brother style. Yeah. Then you have like a cool little scene where he's like grabbing a bunch of old computers that can run League, because basically anything can run League at this point.
Yeah, basically.
So he's just like has a big ass LAN party where the dogs go in there. And that's our first scene. He's like, all right, let's give this fucking thing a whirl. The first time he plays with him, he shouldn't be trying to direct them. He should just be caught up in the magic that they can do it.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the training montage, it's him trying to rein control of these dogs, make it less fun, make it not about the game, make it about just like the fight, you know, like the fight for control. And that's his like, that's like his tests.
And I think this is where we start to realize that he needs to realize that like the dogs need things, right? So like maybe they're playing a game and the dog keeps on bugging him and like scratching at the door, and he keeps ignoring it. Mm-hmm. And then the dog goes potty right there in front of the door. The story kind of continues, and then the next time that a dog is scratching at the door, he's like, all right, I should probably make sure that like I let that dog go out. And at that moment, he's like, hey, wait a minute, these dogs can tell me what they want. And if I do like respond to what they're actually requesting, then I don't get poopy on my floor.
Well, I think the story is not necessarily about him learning how to
I thought that was the lesson. I thought that the lesson was that him learning that he needs to not be in control all the time and take orders.
Yeah, but how does... I don't think a dog is going to take a break from a league match just to go shit to give him a message. You know what I mean? I feel like he needs to learn that lesson within the game rather than outside the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, how would we... What is like taking a shit in League of Legends?
You could ping something until you died.
So like maybe the dogs enter like this little this protest. Like they won't move until he does something. You know, like they collectively work together in one thing, but excluding him. So he.
But it
needs
has to be something that only a dog can do. Otherwise, there's no point of this being an Air Buds movie. That's why I was thinking that they poo-poo on the floor.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to pitch me that a plot point is that they take shits at his door until. Well,
I don't know. How does Air Bud tell people that they're bad teammates?
I don't think
I haven't seen
do.
An Air Bud movie. I think now is a good time to admit this.
Well, I used to watch a lot of them when I was a kid. Oh, you know, be kind of good. What if the dog gives him a kiss, like a little lick, like just like does something like only that only can happen between a dog and their owner? You know, like they show affection. They show, I appreciate you. I'm happy to see you. You know, like that's the thing that breaks him out of his cold bullshit with League. League isn't everything. It's about your relationship with your team. It's about your relationship with your friends and the fun of playing together.
Yeah. So like during these montages of it, him like playing games, we see almost like a complete shot to shot recreation to like one of the first scenes that we saw of him playing video games, where he like acted out and like overextended, tried to go get the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And like it is almost a shot for shot recreation, except when his character would move forward, it doesn't. And like he flashes back to like his teammates being like, you overextend and you don't take orders and you always die and that's why we lose. And so he remembers that and he's like, wait, I'm not gonna overextend this time.
Okay.
And so that causes them to win the game, and then all the dogs like surround him and start giving him kisses when the victory screen comes on.
Yes. And that's like opposed to like the opening sequences where he doesn't walk the dogs. The dogs are disconnected. They're on the other side of the room. They don't interact with him. He doesn't interact with them. That's our act two. We have 8 minutes to crack this. So Our Dark Knight is them finding out that the owner of the dogs realizes that he's been using them as part of the team, is really confused and kind of uncomfortable by it. It's not that he takes the dog away because he wants the other person to lose. It's just that he's like, hey, it's kind of weird. You're spending a lot of time with my dog, and now I know why, and that's just, like, I don't necessarily feel that's cool.
Please stop smoking weed with my dog.
Yeah. You know. Oh, maybe that's the thing that happens. He's like, hey, are you getting my dog fucking high?
My dog smells so bad.
Yeah, no, that's actually really good, because, like, this is my dog. You're fucking putting his health at risk. Why are you fucking smoking around my dog? I've had it. This isn't cool. It's not that he necessarily, you know, maybe he does learn about the league thing, and he's brought in on it at first, and he's like, wow, this is actually pretty cool, because, like, maybe I'm assuming they were friends before they were league members, so maybe, like, they have, like, a fractured friendship that, you know, over the course of the movie you find out that he learns that the dog is playing with his friend, and, like, that's okay. Maybe, like, maybe we just kind of treat that as, like, a normal thing, because all the people in Air Bud have to realize, hey, that's normal, let's let this fucking dog play, right? So then the breaking point is like, hey, you got my dog high. He has a breathing. Well, I mean, not like, and I don't mean that in, like, a funny way. It's just like, oh, look at the dog's eye too. It's like, no, maybe the dog has a fucking lung problem or something.
Dog has dog asthma.
Yeah, dog has dog asthma. And the owner is rightfully so pissed because, like, I still vehemently don't really want to portray the opposing team as, like, a bunch of dickhead pieces of shit.
Yeah, no, they're
like,
good people. They're good gamers. People. The only mean gamer is Mark.
Yeah, and that's his arc, is learning not to do that. Okay, so how does he get the dog back?
With a good old-fashioned dog heist, bud. Like, I think that...
No,
like,
he can't steal him because they got to go up against the team the following day.
No, the dog... He gets the other dogs in, and all the dogs together as a team break out the other dogs so that they can go to Worlds the next day.
I mean, you could do that, but then there has to be repercussions in the final...
There's no repercussions. They win Worlds. How could anyone be mad at them?
Because
they're the champs.
They're going up against the final team that the dog owner is on in the final round.
Maybe the when he's getting the dog taken away, the main character Mark is like, no, you have to trust me, like, I'm way better now, I trust these dogs trust me, let me prove that to you.
And you know what his response is to that is? Like, I don't believe you. You stole my fucking dog. How can I believe that you are better as a person?
But then when he sees that teamwork in Worlds, then he'll be like, oh, Mark has changed. I see Mark in a completely different light now. And then it's fine. And we don't have to worry about real dramatic repercussions because it's an Air Buds movie with weed and talking dogs.
Okay, how about this? So the dog goes missing, and then the owner begrudgingly is forced to watch from the stands as the dog team plays the first round. And just, like, seeing how the dog has changed our main character, and, like, the guy shows affection to the dogs after they get a kill. Like, he goes up and just, like, you know, scratches behind their ears and actually shows appreciation and teamwork. That is what breaks the opposing team member. He's like, hey, you know, I was actually coming into this locker room. This is post-match. Coming in this locker room to punch you in the teeth. But, like, to see how this has changed and how... Like, to see how you've changed and to see the love that my dog gets when he's in your care, I will allow you to play this final match.
So, wait, I really like this idea that even without this dog, this last dog, they still go up to play this match one man down. Because, like, the game's going rounds. And so he goes up, like, he's like, all right, fine, we don't have our jungler dog, but we do still have the rest of the team. I promised these dogs that we were going to go up there and have fun. We're going to go up and have fun. And it's just fun.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Good,
AJ, that's such a good
fun.
Fucking idea. Oh, my God. That's brilliant. So he goes up. He still steps up to the plate because there's more at play than just, like, playing the game. They're there to have fun. The dogs are having fun. He's having fun.
Yes,
and then they go into, and
yes.
Then they meet up in the locker room after, where he's like, hey, you're going to need it. You're going to need a team member. You can also do kind of a dramatic scene too, where it's like, hey, I'm lending you the dog for this, but I don't think you can walk him after we're done with this. It's not ignoring past mistakes. He's still fucked up. This dog still got hurt in his care, but he wants the dog to be there for this final, like, fight.
Yes.
So it's like, because, like, I know this is going to be a straight to Disney movie, but I also still want to have that as, actually, this is not going on Disney. There's 100 bong rips in this movie.
This goes on Disney Plus.
Okay. So because I don't really like that as a story where it's like, oh, well, suddenly things are better now. It's like, no, like, you fucked up and there has to be repercussions for that. But there's something bigger going on, and I want this dog there for the final match. And it's really wholesome. That's like a good fucking, like, that's primo, like, feel-good shit in the last act. And then they fight. Does he lose the battle?
Yeah, they're fucking dogs. Of course he loses against, like I think that they're doing so good, they're doing so good. They get to, like, the final competition in Worlds, and it's a complete wash.
But he gets second place, and you know what the second place prize is?
Second place at Worlds is not bad at all.
No, it's exactly what he needs to pay his rent. to the cent is exactly what he needs to pay his rent. And that's the story. He hangs out with the dogs and he rekindles his friendship with the other players. Like, man, fuck, maybe even he starts. You know what the final scene is? It's him, it's the dogs, him and his old teammates in one room just doing a big LAN party.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like a bowl of Cheetos and like they're just playing some music and just like having fun. So it goes from like his beginning of the story is him being a loner, being like alone and angry and feeling he's the fucking best, to being surrounded by people that he loves and that feels loved by. And like, that's, oh my God, that's a fucking movie, dude. Holy shit. We have like a minute and 15 seconds. So any last little adjustments before we close it out?
Do we need to have a really uncomfortable scene where one of the dogs does get injured that causes that? Or is it just sort of out of left field? The neighbor friend's like, hey, why does Mrs. Snuzzlepants smell like weed?
I think it should be that, because okay. If this is, it should be like my dog's eyes are like, they didn't like, there's not a scene where they just find the dog like sprawled out, passed out or something.
Yeah, that would, like, suck.
Yeah. Hey, my dog's eyes are super fucking dilated and they reek of weed. Like nothing major happened, but it was the fact that they were put in a situation where they could have gotten really hurt.
Yeah.
That is the problem. I don't have it in me to make a dog look like it's dead. Sorry.
I don't have it in me either. I don't even know if I have it in me to get a dog smoking a weed. It's just the implication that the dog was around the weed.
So, that's a fucking movie. What do we want to call it?
E-Buds isn't bad.
E-Bud! Oh my God! E-Bud is... that's it. E-Bud.
And that's a movie. Hey, we broke it.
We fucking broke a movie,
imagine what
dude.
We could have done with another half hour.
Holy shit, dude. Well, I mean, like, no, I think we got the structure there. Like, you know, like, we would have to definitely...
We could have figured out a B-plot. Yeah, B-plot was, like, a little bit more interesting with him and his neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I think that this works.
Yeah, this is a fucking movie, man. That's a structure. hopefully we did the story boys proud. So, we have something very special coming your way. This is going to be Spiritual Successor Goes to the Movies first trailer.
This audio trailer is dog ear friendly.
One selfish gamer. Hey, you're in my lane.
Shove it, Binkley. I'm about to get a pentakill. Check this shit out.
Defeat.
Pentakill my ass.
With no friends.
Mark, you're off the team, but hey, can you still walk my dog later?
And no rent money.
I'm sorry, Mark. You're 2 months behind on rent. You've got to come up with the $20 or you just can't stay here.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. Unless I find a convenient way for a grown-ass man to earn $20, I'm boned.
But at least he has... four dogs?
Wait, you guys can play League?
Yes, but you can't understand what I'm saying because this isn't one of those movies. It's kind of like a snow dog situation.
Victory!
Rather than aggressively pursuing a day job and cutting back on frivolous spending, I'm going to assemble a ragtag team of dogs to take on the League of Legends World's Tournament and earn $20.
Fuck! I have no concept of money.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Fido.
This summer...
Your DPS is incredible. Who's a good boy?
Me!
Who's a good boy?
Me! Me! I'm the good boy! Yes! Tell me how good I am!
All lanes are going to the dogs.
Welcome to Worlds 2020!
Wait, are those dogs?
They better not be. Their drool could cause an accident.
I'm slipping.
E-Butt, climbing its way to a theater near you, July 2020.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Box Office. That's what Blake told me to call this bit before we went into it, and I like it. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you all so much for kind of giving us the opportunity to do this. This is our first Patreon bonus thing, and it's really cool that we get the opportunity to do something like this, and it's thanks to the support that all of you give us. So thank you. Thank you so much. This has been a wild ride of a show since we picked it up. And it's been so fun to do this, right? Like, it's been so fun to see the interactions with all of you, to see the jokes that you all come up with, that you share and trust us to play along with. Like, it's really amazing, and I'm really grateful that all of you are willing to have some fun with us every week. Yeah. It's a complete blast.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. And if you would like to kind of get in on some Patreon fun, go check us out. We got some more bonus things coming your way. And we got a great Discord community. Love you guys.
Thank you so much. This has been Spiritual Successor. I'm AJ Hart.
And I am Blake Rea.
And this has been a cool movie
that should not be made.
League of Legends? More like League of No Money.
I'm sorry, Mark. You've got to come up with the $20 or I'm gonna evict your lazy ass. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Unless I get that tournament money, I'm boned. It's fairly convenient that Worlds is only gonna give $20.
Who wrote this script? Fuck.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. How's a guy with a lot of weed supposed to get $20? Dealing is illegal.
I don't know if that's the space I want to go into. That's okay.
The man took my job.
Rather than aggressively pursuing a day job, cutting back on frivolous spending, I'm going to assume a ragtag team of dogs to take to League of Legends Worlds Tournament and earn $20.
AJ.
Yeah?
I might just use you reading that to me. Because it has this level of like... Yeah, is this what I'm supposed to be? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
That's what it says on the paper.
Rather than aggressively pursuing a day job and cutting back on frivolous spending, I'm gonna assemble a ragtag team of dogs to take on the world of League of Legends. Shit, damn, fuck! I almost got through the line. Your DPS is incredible. Who's a good boy? Who's
me.
A good boy?
Me! It's me! It's I! I am the good boy! Wait! Are those dogs?
Oh, they better not be. Their drool could cause an accident.
Ah, I'm slipping!
That'd be good. That'd be good. Because
I like that. I like explicit. Like, there's almost like more humor in like the expression that we are not able to give visual jokes.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's try that one more time. All right, can you give me one really sweet bong rip?
I don't have any water in my water bottle right now, so I can't hit that bong, you know what I mean? Are you grapefruiting right now? What happened?
I died a little bit.